Hi, we're the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with DeGrom.
Kittens are. This is Sports Crunch with T-Crom. I'm your host, David Cromelo. We are just 2 weeks away from the 2024 NFL Draft, and before Roger Goodell officially puts the Bears on the clock, there are three stops left on our annual Dash to the Draft Divisional Tour. Today, we hit the first of that final trio of stops in the AFC West, which is now officially the home of the NFL's newest dynasty, the Kansas City Chiefs. What do the Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders need to do in this draft to ever so slightly close the gap? And what do the Chiefs need to do in this draft in order to increase their chances at a three-peat? Joining us to answer those questions and a lot more is our good friend Carl Dummler, who covers the Broncos and the NFL draft for Mile High Huddle. It's always the utmost pleasure having you with us during the height of draft season, Carl. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. You know, we're to that spring weather where it's nice to get outside. I get to do a little bit of golfing again. And of course, like you said, best time of the year. It's Christmas for football. It's the NFL draft. And very exciting things going on for all these teams in the AFC West. I mean, some intriguing things. Chiefs just found out Rashee Rice probably going to spend a little jail time, it's looking like. So how does that change their draft profile and what they're going to be looking for? Chargers, new coach, Raiders, needing that quarterback, Broncos needing a quarterback. I mean, there's so much going on here with the AFC West and just the NFL in general, but just an exciting time. And I know you follow the Bears a lot. Man, you got to be loving the fact number one overall pick, number nine overall pick.
Yeah,
it's a good time to be David, right?
Oh, it absolutely is. And let the record show, I will be antsy three times in the first round when the Bears are on the clock. Well, actually two times, because we know they're taking Caleb Williams at one. I'm going to be antsy waiting for whoever falls to nine for the Bears and antsy to see what the Broncos do as well. But without further ado, let's talk about the Chargers, who are in year one of the Jim Harbaugh era, own the fifth overall pick, and face a rather interesting decision there. Due to the sizable salary cap crunch they found themselves in before free agency, they were forced to get rid of star wide receivers Mike Williams via release and, as you know, Keenan Allen via trade to my Bears, of course, leaving Justin Herbert with a wide receiver group that includes Quentin Johnston and Josh Palmer atop the depth chart. While them taking one of the best wide receiver prospects in many years, whether that be Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, or Rome Odunze, is absolutely an option at five, we cannot discount the possibility of them trading back. NFL insider Benjamin Albright remains adamant that Jim Harbaugh and GM Joe Ortiz want to trade back and stockpile more picks in order to supercharge this roster reset. Also, from Stanford to the 49ers to Michigan, Jim Harbaugh coach teams have always been built around a stout offensive line and a lethal ground game. And as Harbaugh himself said at the NFL owners meetings a few weeks ago, every other position is dependent on the offensive line. So here's a hypothetical scenario. Say the Cardinals trade back with the Vikings, netting them picks 11 and 23, meaning they would have four selections in the top 35. But shortly thereafter, in typical Monty Ossenfort fashion, the Cardinals offer the Chargers two of those four top 35 selections, along with, say, a second or third next year to come up to five. If you're Jim Harbaugh, do you take that deal and get yourself, say, Talise Fuaga at 11 and Adonai Mitchell in the 20s? Or do you stand pat at five and take the top wide receiver on your board to help your franchise quarterback?
I don't think you can go wrong either way, honestly. I mean, either way, you're getting some great players, but for me, with how this draft is playing out, I would rather go two for one. I'd rather get the offensive tackle and the wide receiver, even if the wide receiver is not going to be as good. But I still think Mitchell, if he can put the work ethic into running every single route, that guy could end up being one of the top two, three receivers in this draft. I mean, athletically speaking, the guy is just off the charts. And so, yeah, if they could move back to 11, get their offensive tackle, then go get their wide receiver, I'm sure Harbaugh would be sitting there saying, we just nailed it. Like, this is awesome. I get to start off my team with these two great prospects and get to build the team how I want to build them. You know, I think if you stay at five, you feel a little bit maybe pushed to take a wide receiver. just because, I mean, this draft, it's got some good wide receivers, but the elite guys dry up quick. Offensive tackle probably keeps going just a little bit deeper. So yeah, like I said, for a first draft, if you can get two first round picks for the price of one, I think I'd rather go that direction.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely understand where Harbaugh and Ortiz are coming from here. But given some of the questions about the scheme fit of Justin Herbert in Greg Roman's offense, a lot of draft picks, whether they be Chargers fans or Justin Herbert fans like myself, are going to want to see the Chargers give a sign. They're willing to meet Justin Herbert at least halfway. And what better way to do that than take a Marvin Harrison Jr. or a Malik Nabers or a Roma Dunze at five?
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think you go wrong either way. You either get this incredible weapon that becomes a true number one wide receiver, which you're missing right now, like you said, after they got rid of Mike Williams and
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen. Yeah, there you go. So it makes sense that they would want to go that kind of direction. I just know at Harbaugh offense, he's not usually needed elite wide receivers to make his offense go. He's always kind of been, I'm going to build the trenches, both sides of the ball, and we're going to dominate that way, and then we'll be able to make plays elsewhere. Like he almost actually wants a more tight end one than he wants a wide receiver one. He did that in Michigan. He did that with the 49ers. He did that with Stanford. And so I think it's going to be hard for him to go in that direction when he knows, like, the way I want to build my team is in the trenches. So it's going a little bit against himself, but at the same time, like I said, with the board, if you're looking at just how you would rate the board 1 through 10, you'd have to say those wide receivers would be in the top five, top six guys on your board. So I get going either direction. I think Odunze especially would be an incredible fit with Herbert. Oh my gosh, that'd be unfair. I'd be so upset if that's what they did. Just because that guy just fights for every ball. He's athletic, he's strong. And there'd be some fun matchups between him and Surtain for the Broncos. I would love to see those two one-on-one and see who won those matches. But no, like I said, Chargers, they're in a great position. Really, with the top four picks most likely being quarterback, the draft starts with pick five. Chargers can ask for a king's ransom for that pick if they want, or just take the best non-quarterback in the entire draft if they want to.
Absolutely. And speaking of the Broncos, even though they won't admit it publicly, they entered 2024 in full rebuild mode. The fact they were willing to swallow $53 million of Russell Wilson's $85 million dead cap hit this year alone, plus how they exclusively shopped at the Dollar Tree in free agency as opposed to Tiffany's, if you know what I mean, that says it all. And their current quarterback depth chart is headlined by Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci. Yet given Sean Payton's historical tendency for being super aggressive at trading up in the draft, there's obviously a lot of media chatter about the Broncos potentially moving up from 12 to select whichever quarterback falls past the Patriots at pick 3. However, Denver does not have a second-round pick due to the Sean Payton trade, and when they're on the clock, they will be making their first top 50 selection since 2021. Teams at the position the Broncos currently find themselves in usually benefit more from trading back rather than moving up and sacrificing more future premium draft capital. At this time, do you think it is more likely the Broncos move back from 12?
I do. And this is, if Sean Payton was running the entire system, I would say more likely than not, Broncos are going to find a way to trade up. Like they might trade 3 first round picks and Patrick Surtain to make sure that they're the team that gets picked by the Cardinals to get to pick 4. But thankfully, and I think this is where sometimes you need somebody to save you from yourself. And George Payton has always come from the Vikings setup of, we want to get as many draft picks as we can to really fill out this draft or this entire roster. Because right now the Broncos, like I said, with no top 50 selections since 2021, that means this is a very bare roster and not a very cost-controlled roster. And so you need these next couple drafts to really make up for that. And I get, like, quarterback solves a lot of problems. If you get the right quarterback, man, there's so many other holes that just get figured out. You know, when Peyton Manning was with the Broncos, it looked like they had a top 5 offensive line. Because he just got rid of the ball so quickly. They didn't have to block forever. They didn't have to do a great job to look good. But right now, for the Broncos. They need some playmakers on both sides of the ball. You know, right. I would say there's two guys I can really point to for the Broncos, Surtain and Miners, are those two guys that I think you can say, hey, these are building blocks that you build around, that you keep around for the long term. Beyond them, there's not a whole lot there. So if you can go get pick 20 and a second round pick for the price of pick 12, you take that, you go a little bit further back. If you can get maybe another 2025 first round pick, man, I would love that too, because then you got, if you really want to go after your quarterback the next year, you've got the ammo to do that after you build the roster this year.
Oh, absolutely. And in addition, NFL insider Benjamin Albright said last week that there are various scenarios in which the Broncos trade back twice and still get someone they highly covet. Do you feel similarly?
I do. I mean, I think there's maybe about 15 true first round pick kind of players in this draft, but then 15 to about 45, a lot of those players are very closely ranked. You know, it's kind of a pick what you like kind of thing. So if you do trade back once, you might as well trade back again, because I don't think the quality at, say, pick 15, 16 is going to be that much different than pick 25, 26. And I still think you can go get yourself a quality player. You know, there's just a few names off the top of my head. Mims from Georgia, if you want to go offensive tackle. Then you could even maybe work a trade with Garrett Bowles, where you're picking up another day two pick that way, if you decide to go with Mims. There's some cornerbacks that might be there right about that time. Maybe one of the, maybe Latu falls in that range because of his injury history.
Yeah.
Man, I would be jumping for joy. If you trade back to like 25 and get Latu, that is a home run for the Broncos at that point, because I wouldn't even mind them taking him at 12. And so I do. I think that would be a smart thing to do. Gets you more picks and gets you a chance to really build this roster the right way.
Oh, I totally agree, Carl. And given the position the Broncos find themselves in right now, they shouldn't be desperate to trade up to select the fourth quarterback. They should be desperate to trade back.
Yeah, I'm with you completely on that. They can't afford to go waste three first round picks and really hope that quarterback can make up for a lot of issues that they're going to have without the talent on the roster. And, you know, unfortunately with a rookie quarterback, I've said this before, you and I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
One thing I hated that the Bears did, Justin Fields, they never really gave him a true chance until this last year to show what he could do. They didn't have the weapons. They didn't have a great offensive line in front of him. And they just didn't have a great talent pool for him. They were just pretty much like, Justin Fields, go win us a lot of games. And he was not that kind of quarterback to step in and be that person. There's very few quarterbacks I'd say could do that. Andrew Luck, he was one that could step in. Didn't matter the roster. It just really stinks that the Colts did a terrible job ever building up around him. John Elway, when he came into the league, he's another guy that's just so good. It didn't matter the talent around him. Peyton Manning is another one that you could put out there that it didn't matter what situation he went to, he was going to be successful. So those are few and far between. The Broncos, I don't think they're in that kind of position. And other than Caleb Williams, I'm not sure any of the other quarterbacks in this draft can have that kind of label about them.
Absolutely. If the Broncos trade up to select whoever that fourth quarterback is, they're the Panthers of 2023 all over again. That is all I can say. And after a very promising finish to the 2023 season, the Raiders promoted interim head coach Antonio Pierce to the full-time position. Pierce has made clear in no uncertain terms that he does not want a Band-Aid at quarterback this season. Thus, the Raiders, who own the 13th overall pick, are another candidate to move up and snag a quarterback should One They Love fall. And one such quarterback Vegas probably has the hots for is Jaden Daniels. Antonio Pierce helped recruit Daniels to Arizona State and invited him as a special guest to the Raiders' regular season home finale in early January. While many expect Daniels to be the second overall pick, the silence coming from the Commanders building is going to keep us all guessing until April 25th. So here's another hypothetical. If Daniels falls past the Commanders, do you highly anticipate the Raiders to offer a king's ransom to the Patriots in order to trade up to 3?
I would expect they call. Now, obviously, they're going to have a lot of competition because you're going to have the Vikings trying to get up there to that third position. You know, I know that it sounds like they have a deal done with the Cardinals if that's what ends up happening, but I'm still sure that they'd rather get to three if they can to get the guy they really want. So the Raiders, again, they're fighting with the Vikings. They're fighting with the Giants even. I mean, I think Daniels went and had an interview with the Giants not too long ago. He's fighting with the Broncos there at 12. And so is a team really willing to trade from 3 to 13 and miss out on the true blue chip players of this draft to fall back that far? I don't know. They're going to have a tough time with that. So they might have to be thinking more that second tier of guys with Nicks and Penix and Rattler. I guess you could put him in that group as well. You know, maybe that's more of where they're going to end up having to look.
Absolutely. And Adam Schefter himself just doubled down today on Jaden Daniels being the pick for the Commanders at 2. And if that happens, the Raiders could very well be out of luck in the first round quarterback market. And how ideal of a landing spot are the Raiders for a rookie quarterback? I love their defense a lot, don't get me wrong, but their offense outside of an aging Davante Adams, that doesn't really inspire me personally.
Yeah, they're missing a few pieces for sure. You know, they lost their running back to the Packers this year.
Yep, Josh Jacobs.
And I like their tight end, Michael Meyer. I think he's a great player. Colton Miller, left tackle, great left tackle. But you look at the rest of that offensive line, you're kind of like, whew, that's a, who's that? They play in the NFL? You know, it's that kind of look for them. So they definitely have a lot of holes that they would need to fill, which is probably why you'd be looking at Jaden Daniels. Because of his running ability, he can make up for some of the issues with the offensive line. He can slow down pass rushers where they can't just pin their ears back and say, let's go get him. You know, you have to be disciplined in how you rush him. Otherwise, he can turn it into a 75-yard run the other way. So I don't think it would be in their best interest to trade up either. I don't think they're in any better position than the Broncos right now to go make that kind of move. But I get it. I mean, as a new coach, you want to go make your mark, go get your quarterback. And I wouldn't fault them for making that decision. I just think that they're a year away from being able to make that kind of decision.
Absolutely. And another reason why Antonio Pierce probably loves Jaden Daniels a lot is because his dual threat ability adds to the bully ball that Antonio Pierce apparently wants to play in Las Vegas.
Yeah, for sure. Again, it's that running football.
Yeah.
When you can really challenge them in many different ways, really stress that defense by who's going to have the ball in this play. When it's 11 on 10 because your quarterback's not a threat to run, obviously that's the advantage to the defense. If it's 11 on 11, just makes it a little bit more challenging. And because he is such a great athlete, it becomes a problem. I'm not the biggest Jaden Daniel fan. I think there's some questions about his game. I think he depends a little too much on his running right now to make his game go. He also had incredible talent there in LSU, yeah, two first round wide receivers to throw to, a great offensive line. Yeah. But I mean, he's still a great player. And then the other thing I worry about, he's slender.
Oh, yeah.
He takes really bad hits.
Yeah.
Like Lamar Jackson, he's not slender, but I mean, he's still skinny, but he knows how not to take a big hit. Jaden Daniels doesn't know how to do that. I heard somebody describe him earlier today. They said he is, he's the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote all at the same time. He can run as fast as possible, but he's also going to run into a brick wall at some point. And so I think that's a great description of him.
Oh, absolutely. And another key difference between Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels is that Lamar played in a pocket-centric Bobby Petrino offense at Louisville, and that prepared him for life in the NFL. And look at Lamar right now. He is a pocket passing wizard. He attacks every blade of grass on the field, whereas Jaden Daniels almost solely lived outside the numbers at LSU and hasn't proven that he can attack in between the hashes.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, it just so much was either he runs or they throw deep. And some of his timing throws, he was not great at some of those. Where in the NFL, like that's going to be a big part of what you got to develop. Now, I'm not saying he can't become that.
Yeah.
Because he has shown incredible growth from his rookie year at Arizona State to this last year with LSU. Like he is night and day a different quarterback. But there's still so much more he's got to improve at to be a true NFL quarterback.
Absolutely, Kyle. And speaking of quarterbacks, we go to the home of the best quarterback on the planet in Kansas City, where the Chiefs officially cemented themselves as a dynasty by winning their third Super Bowl in 5 seasons. And the scary part is they are far from done. By re-signing Chris Jones to an historic extension and signing Hollywood Brown to a pretty sizable one-year deal, it is clear as day the Chiefs are all in on becoming the first team in NFL history to three-peat. But they have two sizable holes on their roster at the moment. Wide receiver, especially considering the legal trouble Rashi Rice is in, as you alluded to earlier, and offensive tackle, where Wanye Morris, Juwan Taylor, and Lucas Niang are currently atop the depth chart. Which of those two positions is the most urgent for the Chiefs to address?
I think it's wide receiver. Last year, obviously, they were still good enough to win a Super Bowl, because they did. But there wasn't as much fear around that team. You know, that offense, like you didn't worry about their weapons doing as much to you as they have in the past. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, he can still make it work. But there's probably about a touchdown a game that was left on the plate just because the wide receivers were that bad on that roster. You know, with drops, running the wrong routes, not getting open, whatever it may be, there's just so many issues there. And I think Patrick Mahomes is the type of quarterback, he can make an average offensive line work because of his ability to manipulate a pocket, keep running around, whatever he needs to do, he can be okay. But like I said, not having a wide receiver that can actually get open and take advantage of that, that's a problem.
Oh, it most certainly is. And just 2 years ago, Brett Veach traded up 8 spots to select Trent McDuffie, who is arguably the best player on the field in Super Bowl 58. Do you expect Brett Veach to do his absolute darndest to try to trade up even higher to nab such a difference maker at a wide receiver such as Adonai Mitchell, who is a tailor-made fit for Patrick Mahomes?
I definitely could see it. They're one of the few teams. Like, if you're looking at, okay, what kind of holes do they have? Like I said, wide receiver, offensive tackle. They could use another interior defensive lineman. But not much else. Like, the rest of the roster is pretty darn solid and has depth, all those kind of things. So because you don't have a whole lot of needs, that is a time that you can go be aggressive. You're sitting there saying, we might be truly that one piece away from winning that third Super Bowl in a row. And that might be wide receiver Mitchell coming in, whatever that may be. So I think that would be a very true thing for them. I wouldn't have a problem if they made that decision to get really aggressive in this draft.
I fully expect the Chiefs to be very aggressive and try to move up the board as well. And he is Carl Dummler, ladies and gentlemen, NFL draft analyst for Mile High Huddle. Follow him on X at Carl Dummler, MHH. And now, Carl, it's time for the best part of our Dash of the Draft Divisional Tour. You get to play GM for all 4 AFC West teams in 3-round mock drafts. However, no trades are allowed. And we know the Chargers would be very interested in trading this pick at 5, but just for this exercise, we got to stay here and make the pick. You got your choice between Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, or if you want 2 elite bookend tackles, take Joe Alt to play right tackle opposite of Rashawn Slater.
Well, I'm going to take the best player in the entire draft, Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, it would be unfair if he is right there at pick 5 for the Chargers. I, as a Bronco person, I would be crying that they just maybe got the future Hall of Famer in the first pick for Jim Harbaugh.
Absolutely. And what makes Marvin Harrison Jr. the best overall prospect in this draft, in your view?
There's not really a weakness to his game. He is a smooth route runner. He's got athleticism. He's fast. He's big. He's strong. He makes all the catches. He looks like a guy that's been already in the NFL for 5 years, and he's just going to be a rookie this year. Like, he's going to hit the ground running and be a 1,200-yard receiver, probably his rookie season. He could become the number one wide receiver in the entire NFL by the time you get to his third, fourth season in the game, especially having Justin Herbert throwing to him.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a perfect married match between those two. It gives him a guy that he can go out there and trust to go make a play for him. And so, yeah, I think that's just a great pick for them.
Likewise, and we're back on the clock at 37 overall, and I think it's time to address the offensive line now. Zach Frazier, a center from West Virginia, but you also got Jordan Morgan, who is either a tackle or guard out of Arizona, and if Jim Harbaugh likes one of those two guys at this juncture of the draft, I think he pulls the trigger.
Yeah, I think it would be a little bit of a reach for Jordan Morgan, but at the same time, when you need a tackle, sometimes you're willing to reach for those premium positions. So I get that one. They also need cornerback.
Yeah, there's some good corners on the board right now. And TJ Tappa, Kamari Lassiter of Georgia, although that 40 time of his scares the crap out of me. Javon Bullard, if you want another safety out of Georgia. Keep in mind, Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack are getting a little long in the tooth. Adisa Isaac out of Penn State, if you want an edge. Chris Braswell out of Alabama. You got your options here.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a huge need for him. I probably would go offensive tackle here. Getting Jordan Morgan, I mean, you got yourself a big, strong guy there out of Arizona. I think he's a pretty good athlete. I think he's going to be very nice to pair there for the right tackle, left tackle combo for him. He's not the strongest guy in the world, so that makes me a little bit nervous with the kind of system that they'd be running. But at the same time, like I said, I think he'd be a pretty good fit for them.
And we're back on the clock again at 69. And Jim Harbaugh has a couple of Wolverines on the board here. Junior Colson, the linebacker, and Blake Corum, the running back. I don't think they need a running back this early, but an off-ball stack backer is a sneaky need for them, I think.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And I'm sure he will lean into actually looking at some of his own players for that very reason. I mean, he knows them. He knows how to coach them up. They know the kind of systems that he's going to want to run. So I think that would be a very tempting pick for him. Kyrie Jackson, their cornerback as well, is probably another one that I could see them getting on board with. Running back is a need. But like I said, I'm not sure the guys that are there are going to be that much better than the guys that are going to be available next round for him.
Yeah.
So I think I'll probably lean into Junior Colson just because he is a Michigan guy. He is a need. And I think he could be a pretty darn good player for them. He's physical, just exactly what he likes. He's disciplined. He doesn't find himself out of position very often. Obviously he's not going to be the greatest athlete on the field, but again, for a Jim Harbaugh system, he doesn't need the greatest athletes. He just needs guys that are smart, strong, and love football. Like those are the things he's always looking for. He doesn't need the five-star guys to really do it. Yeah. So I think you'd be a great fit for him and gives him a guy that you can plug and play day one as a starter and go out there and make an impact.
Absolutely. And I guarantee you that Jim Harbaugh is going to want to draft at least one of his former players at Michigan in order to further set the culture there in LA with the Chargers. And now the Broncos on the clock at 12 overall. They are most likely going to do their darndest to trade out of this pick, whether that be up or down. But we got to stay put here for this exercise. Johnny Newton, defensive tackle from Illinois, is the highest player on the board. They got their pick of the litter at corner, Cooper DeJean, Quinion Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, but they got a lot of options at edge and tackle. Leiatu Latu, who you mentioned that you loved, Talisi Fuaga, Byron Murphy, defensive tackle from Texas. He could be a good value pick here. Troy Fautanu, an extremely versatile offensive lineman from Washington that should absolutely go in this juncture of the draft. Olu Fashanu, Garrett Bowles is coming out of contract. Get the best pure pass protecting left tackle in this draft. You got options here, man.
Yeah, I wish there's one. I mean, I know we're not doing any trades, but I would take one of these tackles and then try to trade Garrett Bowles for a day two pick is probably the direction I'd really go if I was going in this draft, just because I love these guys. I love getting that young guy to pair with a young quarterback to have his blind side protector. And then you got the edge rushers too. This is a tough one for me because Latu's probably, he's not my number two edge rusher behind Dallas Turner. And I think he's probably going to be a better day one impact of those two. And the Broncos have that huge need. Byron Murphy, love that guy. I think he'd be a great fit as well. He fits that what the Broncos are lacking right now there on the interior. I guess I'm going to go Latu just because the pass rushers fall off quick in this draft. You've got like about four or five guys that I really like. And after that, there's just not much.
That is a very good point. So Laiatu Latu, the pick for the Broncos at 12 in this three-round mock. And we're back on the clock at 76 overall. The Broncos need to add to that quarterback room. Would Spencer Rattler be a good investment here?
I like Spencer Rattler. You know, I wanted to go into this draft not liking him. Did you ever watch his Netflix show?
I did not.
Okay, I did. And if you ever watch that, it is hard to like this kid. He was terrible. Like, he treated his friends terrible. He treated his girlfriend terrible. He got suspended for the championship game. You know, just so many bad things. But I'm also one of those people that believes, like, people can grow. Who you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, is not the person you are today. Like, allow people to change. And I've listened to this guy do interviews, and I've loved him. Like, he sounds like a kid that's been humbled. He's gone through some adversity. He understands he's not God's gift to man. And I think he's got incredible mechanics. Like, as a pure passer, Caleb Williams is probably the only true better pure passer in this draft. And I could see Sean Payton really liking this kid. So, yeah, I think I will go Spencer Rattler here for 76.
And that concludes the three-round mock for the Broncos. And now the Raiders are on the clock at 13 overall. Brock Bowers is still on the board. If you want to create a lethal tight end tandem between him and Michael Mayer, that's certainly an option here. The Raiders invested big time in their interior defensive line with Christian Wilkinson for the agency. But they've got options at corner, and Jack Jones showed promise. But I think they need a legit shutdown corner. Cooper DeGene, Quinion Mitchell are still on the board, but they also need an offensive line help. I really like Fautanu here for them. Fautanu would be a great right tackle opposite of Colton Miller.
Yeah, that's I probably would lean that way. I mean, I'd be a little bit torn just because Quinion Mitchell, great player. I think he would be such a good fit for them on that secondary. But again, getting a great offensive tackle, if you really are committed to finding your real quarterback and not just a Band-Aid guy, I think you got to go get him a great offensive line in front of him. So I would go Fautanu here.
Yeah, Troy Fautanu, the pick for the Raiders at 13. And we're back on the clock at 44. Tyler Newbin is the best player on the board, the safety out of Minnesota, although they do have a pretty promising young safety in Trayvon Merrig. Ennis Rakestraw Jr., a corner out of Missouri. But Michael Penix Jr., if the Raiders are at this spot in the draft and they still want to add to their quarterback room, do you think Penix makes sense here?
He does. You know, you talked about earlier that there are some coaches that have really fallen in love with that kid. Maybe the scouts don't like him as much, but the coaches seem to really love him. Yeah. And I could see the Raiders coaching staff liking this kid. You know, if they like the big arm of Jaden Daniels and his ability to throw downfield, make the big plays, Penix actually probably is maybe a little bit better at throwing down the field. And you just got yourself a right tackle. You've got yourself a left tackle for him as well. So you've got the ability to protect him. Like, that's always going to be the big question with him is, can you build an offensive line that gives him the time to feel like he can step up and make a throw? And when he can step into a throw, that guy could rip it. So I would go Michael Penix here and just take that chance to see if maybe he can be turned into something.
Absolutely. Michael Penix, the pick at 44. We're back on the clock at 77 overall. We cannot give them Junior Colson because we gave him to the Chargers. Tez Walker, if you want to give Michael Penix another downfield weapon, he's an option here. Andrew Phillips, if you want to upgrade that slot corner position, he's a good option here. Malachi Corley, if you want another chess piece for your offense, he would be perfect here.
Yeah. Let's see. Can you scroll back up just a little bit? There we go. Javon Baker. That's another wide receiver. He's actually one of my favorite receivers in this entire draft. I was listening to somebody talk the other day, and they said one of the stats that they look at, if they're looking at a stat for wide receiver that correlates to success in the NFL, it is yards per route run. And this year, one of the top guys, other than those top ones that were going in the top 10, Javon Baker was that next guy. And you see it on the field. Like, this guy just makes play after play. He can be consistent for you. He can be trusted to get open. And so I think Javon Baker would be a great pick for him.
I actually like that pick there. Javon Baker was at the Senior Bowl. I was down there for the entire week of practices, and he was one of the few receivers during the entire week that was able to make a play on Quinyon Mitchell. He out-jumped him in the end zone for a jump ball, and Devontae Adams is known for that skill, obviously. And if you want to find some kind of long-term replacement for Devontae Adams, who is getting a little long in the tooth, Javon Baker would be an ideal investment at pick 77 for the Raiders. And now on to the Chiefs. We are on the clock at 32 overall, and Ladd McConkey out of Georgia is the best receiver remaining on the board. And I think he is an ideal fit with Patrick Mahomes because, like Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes will eat a receiver to pieces if they run any part of the route wrong, whether it be the shape, the timing, you name it. Patrick Mahomes wants you in the right space, in the right time, period, end of story. And Ladd McConkey is one of the best route-running mavens in this draft.
Oh, couldn't agree more. Saw it at the Senior Bowl. His ability to get open was downright impressive. Saw it with his time in Georgia, obviously. He was a very trusted wide receiver. He's more athletic than people give him credit for. And if you can get open, Patrick Mahomes is going to find you. So I think this is probably the easiest pick I've had to make of all of these for any of these teams. Ladd McConkey for the Chiefs.
Yeah, so the Chiefs upgrade their wide receiver room with Ladd McConkey at 32 overall. We're back on the clock at 64. Oh, my God, what is Ricky Pearsall doing on this sport?
I don't.
The Chiefs. If they had a chance to double dip at wide receiver like this, I think Patrick Mahomes, if he were in that draft group, he would be screaming at Brett Veach, double down, take Pearsall.
Yeah. I mean, they'd be running to the phone to call Goodell and say, this is our guy. Like, we have to take him. You don't even look at the rest of the board. You just say, we're going to have two great wide receivers here. I don't know if either of them are going to be true number ones for you, but they're going to be great number twos. And with Patrick Mahomes, that's all he needs. Yeah. If you get him just quality guys that know how to go make a catch, can be trusted to make a catch. Like, both these guys have good hands. Yeah. They're going to come down with the football. So this is unfair, man. Seriously. Like, the Chargers getting Marvin Harrison Jr. is bad enough. Chiefs now getting two great wide receivers when that's their greatest need, it really is unfair.
Yeah, plus Ricky Pearsall was the favorite target of somebody named Anthony Richardson down in Florida. And if he could thrive with a freakish athletic quarterback like that, just imagine what he will do with Patrick Mahomes. And the Chiefs are back on the clock at 95 overall. We can't triple dip at wide receiver because we gave them Ladd McConkey and Ricky Pearsall. Malachi Corley's just electric here. We got to see what we can do with the offensive line, because keep in mind, there's a good chance the Chiefs may have to say goodbye to Joe Tooney this year in order to pay Creed Humphrey. So Mason McCormick could be a very good investment at guard here. McCormick is a freakish athlete, and the Chiefs love their athletes on the interior of that offensive line, as they showed in 2021 with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith.
Yeah, I it makes sense. I mean, again, when you're the Chiefs, you have a little bit of luxury that you can draft for the future.
Yeah.
And now you can start cutting down in some other cost areas, since Chris Jones has his big contract, Patrick Mahomes has his, Travis Kelce. You're going to have to pay McDermott here pretty soon. So McCormick makes a ton of sense that you can maybe get a little bit cheaper in that spot. And he might need a year, just coming from small school, might need a little bit of time. Won't have to go in there right off the bat and start for you. And like I said, then all of a sudden you still keep that interior offensive line strong moving forward. I think that's a great pick for him.
So Mace McCormick, the guard out of South Dakota State, is the pick for the Chiefs at 95. And so concludes the 3-round mock for the Chiefs. And he is Carl Dumbler, ladies and gentlemen, NFL draft analyst from Mile High Huddle. Follow him on X at Carl Dumbler, MHH, and catch his work at milehighhuddle.com. Carl, thank you so much once again. And that's it for today here on Sports Crunch. But in just a few days, we make the penultimate stop on our 2024 Dash to the Draft Divisional Tour in the AFC North, where we'll once again be joined by our good friend Bill Carroll of Team NBS Media. So stay tuned. Also, be sure to follow me on X at DCrom59 and on Instagram and now Threads at Sports Crunch with DCrom. And remember, that's Crunch with a K. For Carl Dumbler, this is David Cromelo saying so long, and whatever you do, please choose love, please choose kindness, please choose compassion, please choose selflessness, and please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in any sport. Until next time, cats, kittens, stay cool.